stay. Hour three, triple option with RBKD. We got our All-American Rod Babers. We've got Brad Kellner. BK, man, he was fired up about Texas basketball and the lack of fans. I think we're going to hear a little bit more about that coming up. I'm Kevin Dunn. We are two in. We got a full show today. We got two to go. Don't forget, we're live, we're local, we're digital. Get the Horn app. Also get to hornfm.com. We got a lot of good shows and a lot of good stuff going on the website. You can check out all the podcasts if you get there, including Light the Tower. Great job by those guys. Love having Snoop involved with that. And obviously you got Craig and Jeff. And Craig, the play-by-play boys for the Longhorns, listened a little bit last night. He did a hell of a job as Texas basketball fell to Oklahoma. We're going to get to that, but before we get to all of that, we do have some breaking news. And BK, I'm guessing this is good breaking news, huh?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's not like bad. He's been around forever, but you're tight end, going to be a Hall of Famer. Depending on what he tweets the next couple years, Jason Witten is calling it quits.
Yes, when you say my tight end, this is not in relation to the last story we talked about involving the COVID anal swab testing that's becoming prominent in China.
Or not even where he was this last year, but well right. done on your part.
Yes, thank you.
But he's also a black hole, too, though.
Well done.
Look at y'all, man.
How about that?
Y'all are on fire.
We were ready for this, man.
Yeah, y'all were.
Let me check my script. What's up next?
But okay. It's safe to say that he's a Cowboy, right?
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jason Witten is reportedly retiring after 17 years in the NFL, and he does intend to sign a one-day contract and retire as a member of the Dallas Cowboys. So, Jason Witten... played 16 years, that took a year off, was the Monday Night Football broadcaster, which did not go well for anyone. I think Jason Witten would be the first to admit that that job probably was not for him. But then he joined the league again last year and played with the Las Vegas Raiders. And, wasn't the same player well past his prime. But that's it. I mean, a Hall of Famer without question, a Cowboys Ring of Honor member without question, and yeah, a guy I grew up with. I mean, he's one of my favorite Cowboys of all time. And, you know, it was really sad a couple of years ago when he retired for the first time. It kind of felt like a piece of my childhood was leaving, right? Yeah. Like, I had that a little bit when Tony Romo was done and we shifted from him to Dak Prescott. But, like, Jason Witten, I mean, pretty much my entire sports memory and being a Dallas Cowboys fan coincided with Jason Witten's historic career in Dallas. So, like, he is one of the guys that I most associate with America's team. He'd meant a lot, one of the best tight ends in NFL history, and he will be missed for sure.
He will be, Rod. He's a Hall of Famer. I would think if I'm Danny White, who's a new AD at Tennessee, or I guess more importantly, Josh Heupel, who's going to be the new coach there, man, I try to get him as involved with anything I can there and just try and have him be a part of that reclamation project at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a no-brainer, right? I mean, all the reports and rumors were that he's thought about coaching and wanted to get into coaching, or tried the broadcasting thing, not really a fit for him, went back to playing. Everybody knows he's a great player, going to be a Hall of Famer. And there's been nothing but glowing remarks and complimentary remarks about his football acumen and how he was always a coach on the field, great influence, great leader in the locker room. I'm with you, KD. I mean, get him involved whatever you want to do. You let me know what you want to do.
Exactly.
We'll come around here. We'll let you do it. You want to coach tight ends for 2 days out of the week? Come on up here and coach tight ends 2 days out of the week. You want to come here and you just want to give rah-rah speeches before the game? Come on in. You're our rah-rah speech guy. I'm with you. And more Jason Witten, the more the better. And I think he can do nothing but help. And yeah, I mean, I know Peyton Manning is still heavily involved, and I'm sure those guys are involved to a certain extent, but yeah, you can ratchet it up a level if you're Josh Heupel, and also you can win over a lot of street cred having Jason Witten patting you on the back and showing up at practice.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say the same thing for the Dallas Cowboys, right? I mean, if Jason Witten has any interest in coaching the Dallas Cowboys, find an assistant job for him. He'll make up a position for him if you have to.
Jerry has no problem doing that.
Yeah, Jerry, exactly. He has no problem taking care of his guys. So, Yeah, I would love that. God, it was so weird to see Jason Witten in a not Cowboys uniform last year.
I'm not a Cowboys fan, and it was weird.
I'm sure you guys, I mean, KD, for you, it's probably Michael Jordan, right? Like, he's your favorite all-time athlete, seeing him in a Wizards uniform. Ron,
Jerry Rice.
You have a couple of those guys, too. Jerry Rice.
I think Hakeem went to Toronto. Yeah, it was strange.
Like, everyone's got those guys. And maybe Jason Witten isn't quite on the level of those cats, but for me, it was bizarre just seeing him in any non-Cowboys jersey this past season. Because I associate with that dude with Dallas, 11-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro, Walter Payton Man of the Year, and he's top three in a lot of tight end statistical categories in the history of the NFL. He gave it all he had.
Yeah, the Raiders were really that team for me as a Niner fan because, Rod, you remember they were like the graveyard when the Niners were trying to be – they were kind of early on with a lot of stuff, but in terms of cutting players earlier than people thought, and Belichick definitely majored in that move – but Ronnie Lott, Roger Craig, Jerry Rice, Tom Rathman, and there were like 5 or 6 guys that I loved, and they were all wearing Raider jerseys. I'm just thinking, oh, man, to the dark side, to the dark side they go. All right, so so that's one UT, the lesser UT. Let's get to the real UT in Texas basketball, because last night we told you before we took you to Craig and Eddie for pregame that three major players were going to be gone, Courtney Ramey, Jericho Sims, and Brock Cunningham, and that this Texas team was going to be down to a thinner roster. What we didn't know, and Brian Davis saw a report today, is that Texas barely had enough of a team to even practice as this thing was going on. So lots of speculation today if this thing should have even been played, but it was a wild one at the Irwin Center. Oklahoma wins 80-79. They had a 9-point lead at halftime. Texas did not play well in the first half. I don't think we talked about that much at three, but they got to really blame themselves. KT Turner came out after the game and said, yeah, we just didn't have the fight that we needed in the first half. But the second half, they did. It was awful officiating all the way around, and there were some bad calls on Oklahoma too, but Texas was so thin, Rod, that you got three guys that foul out, two guys that have 4 fouls. It was a tough night and the wrong night for Texas to run into officials that were calling everything and stuff that wasn't there.
Yeah, it was. We learned, I think, later on, Brian Davis had to report that they had no practice time together either. The 8 players they did have available for that game versus OU, they only had 1 practice that they had together before that game versus OU. And, of course, no Shaka, but KT Turner, only 1 practice with those guys. And he also reported that, you know, they got those guys back piecemeal throughout the week. They had 3 players available last week, early last week, and then 3 more cleared on Sunday. He had 2 more clear on Monday. Still went into that game shorthanded with no Jericho Sims, no Brock Cunningham, and no Courtney Ramey, and then had 3 guys foul out. And when that happens, all your guys getting in foul trouble, it led those 8 scholarship players ended up committing 29 fouls. It led to a huge disparity in the free throw department, 34-19 advantage for Oklahoma. And even with that, still came down to a 1-point game because Texas fought like hell for a 12-point deficit in the final 20 minutes. They were just under. Man, it didn't have enough manpower. They really just literally ran out of bodies. Yeah. and they ran out of big bodies, more importantly, with no Jericho Sims. You know, it was big for when Royce Ham went out, and he was actually having a decent game. When he fouls out in the second half, you lose that big presence there. And, of course, with no Courtney Ramey, with his average 14-4-3, I mean, losing him is big. But this is a really deep team. I think they showed some of that depth last night with guys fouling out and not having 3 guys available. Still took it to the wire, BK, with Oklahoma. They just fell short in the end. And, you know, the Big 12 is just a really tough league, man. It can end up being a really tight league in terms of what separates the top of this league from the average in this league. And I don't think Oklahoma is a little bit better than average, but I'm just saying it's just not a wide gap between those teams. You lose 2 or 3 players like Texas did, and it shrinks that advantage you may have.
I think Texas wins that game if they have any of those 4 pieces last night, whether it's Jericho Sims or Courtney Ramey or Brock Cunningham
or
Shaka Smart. I mean, you lose by 1. I think any of those guys are good enough to make a 1-point difference in that game. But obviously, if Texas wasn't full of strength, I think the Longhorns would have taken care of business and found a way to beat Oklahoma. And it's funny, you know, we were having conversations about Texas sort of getting a bye week in the middle of the college basketball season. Like, that's not a thing, right? You normally don't have something like that. And we're thinking, all right, maybe this could be a refresher for Texas. They get a little bit of rest. They can work on some things in practice so they can find a way to be better for this second half stretch run. We were speculating all of that. It turns out, like, nobody was able to practice. They had so many COVID issues that just 2 days ago, they only had three players available to practice. So you can't really accomplish anything in that stretch. So even though the two games that were postponed last week were because of Iowa State and TCU COVID issues, the Longhorns were obviously going through a lot as well, and they really couldn't use the bye week that they got, the de facto bye week, to an advantage. And you could tell, the chemistry was not quite there last night because of the absences and just because of the lack of practices, too.
Chemistry was not there. I still like how these guys fight through adversity. I like the toughness of this team. But now you go to 5-2, and I still feel really confident. I mean, Oklahoma's 6-3. I still feel confident Texas can finish second in this league. And that's been the case a lot of my life, BK. A lot of our lives as we're watching Texas in the Big 12. I think they can finish second. The difference is it's going to be Baylor this year and not your typical Kansas Jayhawks. But it almost feels like that because Baylor hadn't lost yet in conference.
They have not
That's Texas still will play them twice. But that just seems like, hey, I just hope this team can be a top four seed. That would be good.
Hey, Texas still controls its own destiny to win the Big 12.
They do, you're right.
They've got two games against Baylor, and right now they're two games behind Baylor in the Big 12 standings. But, yeah, I don't think, look, even before last night, it would have been a tall task for Texas to win the league. And after last night, the task is even taller. Not impossible, but it feels pretty gargantuan for Texas to find a way to win the Big 12 regular season title. But, man, that one hurts. But you're right, KD. I mean, I'll give them some credit. I'll give them some love. They fought hard. They had everything going against them last night, and we'll get to that here in a second. But they fought hard and gave a pretty good team everything they could.
They did. I watched the game courtesy of Audiovisual Consultations. I mean, they can get you the perfect TV setup. There's already lots of Texas fans that have called them over the last 30 years, and they watch their Texas games and watch other stuff. I actually had a couple TVs up and was watching that, and was still flipping around and watching other stuff. That's one of the cool things. They can set it up exactly what you're looking for. So if you want two TVs, three TVs, four, any size, any type of shape in terms of formatting or forming them together, they can do that. So if you've been to a Pluckers and you see everything they do there, AV Consultations outfitted every Pluckers. They can do anything you're looking for, audio and video. They also have great security surveillance systems set up. So there's a lot of phone calls that you're saving just with one. It's 512-255-8678, 512-255-8678, or avconsultations.com. Unfortunately, guys, everyone, for the most part, had to watch this at home. Oh, and as we're watching it at home, we're thinking, it could have had a little bit of help. I'm not, the Irwin Center usually doesn't give you too big of a bump, but it could have helped out last night.
Yeah, agreed 100%. And I kind of ranted on this in the 3 o'clock hour, but I'll get into a shortened, amended version of this rant right here. If you want to hear the full length thing, go check out the podcast at hornfm.com.
It was fantastic.
But I think last night, everything that happened at the Irwin Center last night was a crock of crap for three different reasons. And I wish I could use a much harder word than crap, but I don't think the employers or the university would be too fond of that. First of all, the fact that the game was played last night feels ridiculous. Texas was so unbelievably shorthanded. They didn't have their coach. They only had eight scholarship players available. And you say, well, you know, you could field a team with eight. Like, that's fine. And they have assistant coaches, guys who could step up and make it happen. There have been other teams in this league who have been able to pause team activities and get games postponed just if their head coach tested positive for COVID. We saw that at TCU a couple of weeks ago. That's why Texas didn't play TCU last weekend, because Jamie Dixon tested positive.
So it was just Jamie Dixon.
They had some players end up testing positive as well, but that never came to light. Like, we never got an exact number, and I don't think the number was as much that Texas had. But there were also other teams in the Big 12 who have had less COVID issues than Texas had this week and did not have to play. They were able to get their games postponed. So I'm mad about that. It just feels like this game should have been able to be postponed and played at a later date. I'm more mad about the officiating last night. I mean, that was just a joke. It was bad both ways, but way worse for Texas. Oklahoma made more free throws than Texas shot last night. And, of course, you felt the effects of the foul trouble because you only had eight scholarship players. It was a disaster. And I feel really, really bad for the players. I feel bad for any non-Texas or OU fans that just voluntarily sat down and watched that game, right? Like, they wanted to check out a good college basketball game. It was the only ranked matchup last night. I'm going to watch this. It was a disservice to the game of basketball. I mean, the officiating in that game set the sport back 5 years, I think. But the thing that frustrates me the most with what took place at the Flan last night is the fact that there were no fans in the stands. Like, to me, Texas not having any fans at home basketball games right now is just another example of the university not caring about basketball. Like, just 2 months ago, we had 25,000 fans at DKR for a football game. That's cool, but you can't have 2,500, 2,000, 1,000 inside the Flan for a basketball game. I'm not saying pack the drum. I understand COVID. Believe me, I understand COVID. And I can't go too scorched earth with this because I've said it a bunch over the last 10 months. It's hard to be too critical of any decision that is made with health and safety in mind before anything else. But, man, it feels like these last two losses, the Texas Tech loss and the Oklahoma loss, with both which both happened in Austin, could have changed, could have been different if you had any semblance of a home court advantage. And the officiating last night, I think, would have been different if you had fans booing and criticizing the calls. They've done studies about how referees don't like to get booed, and they generally are more favorable to home teams versus road teams because they don't like to get booed. Nobody likes to get booed. Nobody likes to be criticized doing their job or really doing anything in this life. So I think it's another example of the university just not caring enough about basketball. Like, if there was a football game yesterday, I don't care if they were playing UTEP, there would have been fans at DKR. Yep. And this is the best basketball team, Rod, that they've had in more than a decade. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're not allowing the student-athletes to get the support, any of the support that they deserve, to me, is just embarrassing and disappointing.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, brother. I think you killed it. If this was football, there'd be fans in the stands. There just would be. Not only because you'd have big money donors and boosters and people who are influencers, if you will, behind the curtain on the 40 acres because they would want to be there. That's just part of what they pay the big money for. But also because, they would want to get every advantage possible, and that's to get a few fans in the stands. Hey, we heard coaches in the SEC talking about, man, I wish we had more fans in the stands so we can get a little bit of a home field advantage. Texas would make sure they could try to get as much as they could in basketball. Seems like nobody really even thought about it. And if anybody can do it in a safe and responsible fashion, if anybody has the resources to do it, it'd be Texas.
Yeah.
Texas has a ton of money. As Red McComb said, more money than anybody except the Catholic Church. So they got the money to do it in a safe and responsible fashion, and they should go out of their way to try to bring not only the fans to go watch one of the best teams that you said Texas has had in a really long time, but also so that it could have given them possibly an advantage. There were several people that I saw on Twitter that said, I wished I could have been there because I guarantee you just the presence of a few fans would have been able to give these guys a little uplifting, a little spiritual upliftment, a little juice, a little mojo added to it. So I'm with you. There's no doubt about it. Fans would have made a difference. How much of a difference, we never know, but definitely would have helped the team a little bit.
And the other point you brought up, too, is it would have helped the mojo and it helped out with the team, but it also maybe would have kept those whistles in their damn pocket for a little while because – you get on them enough and screaming at them. I've been at some games. We've got half the crowd just, killing a home plate umpire or official at the Irwin Center and then they almost realize, ooh, we may be going a little bit too far on this.
Right, and they were going a bit too far last night. And it's just, we talk about it a lot with various UT sports teams, self-inflicted wounds. This feels like a university self-inflicted wound right now. It feels like a decision being made by UT is punishing the basketball team, and it just doesn't need to be done. There are other schools in this state, there are other schools in this conference that are playing with fans. Once again, I'm not saying pack the drum. I don't want anything close to a full house. I get what's going on with COVID. I get that we're in stage 5 as a city right now, but you've got concerts, you've got comedy shows, you've got bars and restaurants open, you've got gatherings going on around the city right now. You can't possibly sit here and tell me that it's not possible, especially with the resources like, Rod, you talked about, that it's not possible to put anybody in the stands for these basketball games right now. And Texas, by the way, at the start of the year, they did have fans in the stands. So what changed? Like, we never were told what changed. And they're just hiding behind the, city officials. City officials have been saying not to do stuff for 10 months. So what changed? I think you're doing a disservice to the student athletes and the coaches. And I wish the university cared about basketball way more, but I've said that for a long, long time.
Yeah, and at least give us a reasoning for that, right?
Yeah.
All right, Rob, what do you got coming up in your rant?
Today is hump day, or is it pump day? We'll get into that in Rod's rant of the day. All of that and more right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
No, oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And it might tease, you know, people call this hump day, of course, getting over the hump, heading to the weekend. It might be more appropriately called pump and dump day, or actually maybe stunk day. If you've heard these terms lately, then you know where I'm going. If those who don't know, pump and dump, it's a financial term in the financial market for somebody artificially inflating a stock price in order to sell it at a lower price, to sell it at a higher price.
Yeah.
And then obviously the stock drops, and then boom, investor, they lose money, and then they can actually end up dumping that stock and end up making money off of the dump stock. That's the pump and dump term. And stunk is a term for unsound. It's basically kind of a Urban Dictionary term for unsound financial advice. And you might have seen these terms a lot on social media recently, because the pump and dump scheme may be manifesting itself into an all-time strange beast in GameStop. Have you guys been keeping up with this GameStop story?
Yeah, a little bit.
It is fascinating, man.
Yeah, not enough. I'm glad you're doing this segment because I've been like seeing a bunch of headlines and it's been all over social media, but I haven't really delved into it as much as I should have. So I'm glad you're going this route today.
All right, so the NASDAQ chief, Adena Friedman, she is the one that says now the regulators and exchanges need to watch the pump and dump schemes, because she thinks now that markets are more vulnerable to pump and dump schemes. We said pump and dump, artificially inflating a stock price in order to sell it at a higher price, then stock drops and the investors lose money, boom, but they can end up still making money off of it. And then you have, of course, the pumping up of the stock. So that's what's happening right now with GameStop. And I kind of want to get into some of the specifics, and I'll get into the timeline of it. I'm not a financial genius, so whoever's listening, you're a financial genius, just bear with me. I apologize if I don't get all the specifics correct. But on the 25th, all right, the 25th, on Monday, the GameStop stock opened up on Monday at $96.73 a share. And it closed on Monday at $76.79 a share. Actually, the high of that day was $159 a share. The low was $61 a share. Tuesday opened at $88.56 a share, closed at $147.98 a share. The high was $150. The low was $80. Today, it opened up at $354 a share. Closed at $347.51 a share.
What?
Hitting a high of $380 a share and a low of $249 a share. This is the GameStop stock prices. Yeah. Yes. And we all know GameStop was basically a failing mall-based business, going out of business, about to file for bankruptcy in a few years because their business model was just antiquated. So we'll go over how
Are you about to tell me that Blockbuster stock is about to rise too? I mean, what the hell is this?
I still have some of that and I can't sell it.
It's scary what could happen. Potentially, yeah, it could. So the market value now has soared above $23 billion. So basically, the GameStop overall market valuation is worth more than American Airlines. It's worth as much as Delta Airlines right now.
Unbelievable.
It's worth as much. It's worth more than the Kellogg's cereal company combined. Period.
Oh,
that's how much GameStop overall valuation, $23 billion, currently worth more than 90% of U.S. companies in the Russell 3000 index of companies. It's the 3000 of the largest publicly traded companies in the country. It's actually number 34 right now, right behind Zoom. They have GameStop as the 34th most valuable company right now in America, right behind Zoom. Zoom was one of the biggest profiteers of the pandemic because everybody had to go to Zoom. And think about now, GameStop is right up there with the evaluation of Zoom.
Now,
so what happened? So,
hey, Rod,
go ahead.
Wouldn't some of that also be not as much as Zoom, but wouldn't some of GameStop? And I'm so glad you're doing this, and I think I know what you may get into here. So there's other stuff outside of it, but they would have done well with the pandemic, right?
Who, Zoom or
no,
GameStop?
GameStop, because people were playing
GameStop
more video games because they're at home.
Not really. It was expected to have an 18% revenue loss this year.
Gotcha.
So it did get a stock increase because of the PlayStations being released, but not enough to really account for this.
Gotcha.
So you're right. A lot of other things factor into this. So usually the point of the stock market and stock market speculation is to return cash to shareholders in terms of dividends. That's an impossibility right now with GameStop, this GameStop phenomenon going on. So what's happening is you're having these Wall Street pros, the hedge fund investors, the Wall Street traders, have now been pitted up against the amateur traders and retail investors. And I'll get into what happened. So here's the timeline. You guys remember the name Michael Burry. Michael Burry. He is actually played by Christian Bale in the movie The Big Short. He was the one on Wall Street that predicted the 2008 financial crisis, and he's the one that made himself a multimillionaire betting against the market, right? He was the one that made a ton of money betting against the shorting subprime mortgages. Remember that subprime mortgage crisis? So he's the one that saw it coming. So now this guy's known for being a kind of a guru and noticing trends on Wall Street. So he's the guy that started this, right? He bought GameStop in April during the pandemic at about 5% of GameStop stock. And his hedge fund is called Scion Asset Management. So they bought 5% of the stock at a price of between $2 and $4. He was just trying to make some money, right? He was going to short the stock. And it was $2 to $4 a share. He spent nearly $15 million in total to buy 5% of the company, basically 5% of their shares. Basically, the play for him was to urge GameStop to use their liquid cash to buy back all the stock that he had bought, right? Try to buy it back from them. And he was going to try to get them to have their automatic $300 million buyback authorization they have within the structure of their business model. There's a $300 automatic mechanism for buyback authorization. And he wanted, and it was his intent on starting that buyback. Right, so he can make some money by essentially shorting the stock. That's what he went through, right? They're called short sellers. So this sets off a chain of events that basically nets billions of dollars in paper profits for retail investors and amateur speculators, and billions in losses for hedge fund investors, sophisticated financial minds. So the retail investors and the amateur speculators have kind of cornered the shorted stock of GameStop now. And what's happened is you've had these different apps like Robinhood. You ever heard of Robinhood? Snoop was talking about it on Light the Tower, where it allows now regular citizens like us to go trade on Wall Street, trade shares and trade different stocks. And you get to do it with it costs you zero. There's a zero service fee.
Yep.
Zero service fee, $0. You can do it for free. Just go out there and start trading stocks. They want you to trade stocks. So you're getting a ton of action on GameStop. And not just action with sophisticated hedge fund investors. You're talking about action with actual regular everyday people. And what's happened, you also have the stimulus money that's been, talking about billions of dollars of stimulus, actually trillions of dollars of stimulus money that has been put into the economy. We actually don't even know where all the damn money is. But they do know that a lot of this money has ended up being reinvested in Wall Street, which is actually a good thing for the economy, but it's manipulating the stock. So I'll keep going. So what happens is, once everybody finds out that Michael Burry, this guy who's considered to be he's a savant when it comes to Wall Street investing. He can see trends before they happen. Everybody notices that he is shorting the stock. So a Citron Research founder, Andrew Left, he suggested that the stock would drop. This was when it was at like $41. He said it was going to drop to $20. And his quote was, "We understand short interest better than you." He was talking to the public. He was talking to the retail investors, the amateur speculators out there on Robinhood and these different apps. He said, "We know better than you." He went on. He actually had a video that has now been deleted where he's talking to the common man saying, "I don't understand why people were so angry about someone showing the other side of trades. The failing of a mall-based retailer shouldn't have people this upset." So people on Reddit took this as a slight, as a personal slight to them, that this guy, this holier-than-thou, sanctimonious Wall Street hedge fund investor was telling them, "Y'all don't know what the hell y'all doing. We know what we're doing. We short stocks. Y'all don't." They're like, "What? We can short stocks as well as anybody." So they cyber-bullied, I'm serious, out of spite, They cyberbullied this guy, and this Reddit, there's a place called Wall Street Bets on Reddit. It's a Reddit page called Wall Street Bets, basically the wild, wild west of financial advising. And essentially, they view the Wall Street markets, they view them as a casino. They say basically the Wall Street markets are casinos. Don't look at it as anything else. They'll pretend that it is the command center, the heart and soul of capitalism in America. It's like, nope, it's just a casino. And you can bet, and there are different ways to influence the market and influence the bets. And Chewy founder Ryan Cohen, he's the next one to jump in on this, right?
Tribe.
So he jumped in, and he jumped in on buying 10% of GameStop. He did it basically because the PlayStations were coming out, and he wanted to own some of that market share when the PlayStations came out. But it ended up surging, increasing the stock price. Basically, it pumped up the stock price because everybody was like, oh, this guy Ryan Cohen's jumping in on it too. Something's going on with GameStop. It's all speculation, right? And, of course, you had this guy Michael Burry jumping in on it. And then recently, Elon Musk actually tweeted out a link to the thread, the Wall Street Bets thread. And even though he was making fun of this rapid speculation, people actually viewed it as something that optimistic. So it pumped up the stock price even more. Because Elon Musk was talking about the stock.
Jesus.
So essentially, this has created, and now you're looking at 881% gain in GameStop shares in the last month. 881% gain. They've actually created millionaires from these venture amateur investors. And it has decimated and wiped out some billion dollar hedge funds already. Melvin Capital, one of the biggest short sellers of GameStop. He's trying to short the stock. He needed a $2.7 billion bailout from Citadel and .72 Asset Management, another hedge fund, just to stay afloat because they're losing money because they're making billions of dollars short selling these stocks, especially the GameStop stock. Say that five times fast. And CNBC David Faber says he's not the only billionaire hedge fund guy that's in trouble. He says a number of hedge funds are in trouble and in need of bailouts now because of this GameStop phenomenon.
Wow.
Now Michael Burry, the guy who started this trend, the guy that they made the movie about, The Big Short, who Christian Bale played, he is saying now this short squeeze, they call it, is unnatural, insane, and dangerous. He said that in a deleted tweet. He said they should have regulatory repercussions and legal consequences. But he should understand, if you don't understand what the SEC is, the Securities and Exchange Commission, they are basically the NCAA of Wall Street.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be in charge, but they don't do a damn thing. All right? So now everybody believes this guy Michael Burry just has FOMO because his 3.4 million shares he purchased for $15 million back in April during the pandemic, he sold them all. Do you know what they would be worth right now?
Yeah.
$710 million. He sold them. He sold them for probably some good profit. I'm sure he sold them for $50, $60 million. I'm sure he made good profit. But right now, he would be a billionaire. If he had just held on to those shares. But who knew? Nobody knew that the stock price was going to continue to climb the way it is. So right now, as we speak, GameStop still currently valued at $23 billion, more than American Airlines, more than Delta Airlines, more than Kellogg's cereal company. I mean, it is unbelievable, guys. And they've never seen anything like it. And basically what's happened is there's a standoff going on. There's a standoff happening right now between, basically we have the advent of these easily accessible apps like Robinhood that allow ordinary Americans to make stock market trades at almost no initial cost, and that spurred a boom in direct investment. Plus, you got trillions of dollars in stimulus money that people are just burning a hole in their pocket, and now people are sitting at home. They are noticing these trends in the market, and they are on this Reddit thread, the Wall Street Bets, and they're essentially getting advice from these amateur investors, and they're following the market just like the Wall Street hedge fund guys who are supposed to be the authority on all of this, and they're now going head-to-head. So they're forcing – this is what's happened here. So the shorting of the stock, which is – they call it a bear market, right, because it's going down. right? So the shorting of the stock, the strategy usually is hedge fund, hedge fund buyers, they basically sell shares. Say you sell shares for $10, right? Say you borrow, this is how hedge funds work when they're trying to short a stock. So they'll borrow the stock, because first of all, they're not going to spend their own money buying stock. So they're going to borrow like they always do. So hedge funds borrow the stocks, and they sell the shares for $10 on the open market. They wait till the price drops down to $5. Then they buy back and they pocket the profit because they bet against the stock. They were betting that the stock would fall eventually. And that's how they were all making their money. But now those hedge fund investors are forced to cover their arse, if you will, and they have to buy more of the shares because now they have to fulfill all of the stock options for all the amateur investors who are out there pumping up the stock. They're just pumping money into GameStop. They're just pumping tons of money into it because of these amateur investors. And right now, the market doesn't really know what to do about it. It's not illegal. It's not something they can really regulate. They've tried to investigate Robinhood, the app, several times, and they can't even really find any criminal activity or them doing anything wrong or inappropriate. And they've actually stopped they've actually halted the price, I should say, and halted the sale of GameStop like 6 or 7 times for the last 3 or 4 days, just trying to see what is happening, and they can't figure it out. All these market specialists, these brilliant minds, can't figure out why this perfect storm of factors is causing GameStop to become one of the most shorted stocks in the history of capitalism. It is fascinating to watch, guys.
Fascinating stuff, man. And you've made me want to go home tonight and just dig into this. I'd kind of been following it a little bit, but Burry's connection with all this is fantastic. And the fact that it's gone up from 1 point, what was that? You said 3 or 4 billion in terms of its value to 23 now, the company?
Yeah, it went from around $2 billion evaluation. Now it's at $23 billion overall valuation as a company. It's fascinating.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Stuff just
makes and it's all
mad.
Fake. It's all fake. This is all smoke and mirrors, guys. This is partly, now the emperor has no clothes. This is partly what's wrong with our financial system. All these guys on these hedge fund investors on Wall Street, this is what they do every day to make money. They're just getting a taste of their own medicine. This is moving money around, and that's end up making money. You're not creating a profit by creating a product. You're not creating a real service. You're just moving money from one place to the other and calling that a job. And that's now the angel amateur investors, they're doing the same thing, but now the hedge fund investors are losing money. It's almost ironically, Robinhood, the app, is taken from the rich and given to the poor.
Mm. Yeah, this story just makes me mad because I wish I would have bought stock in GameStop like a week ago. I'd be rich as hell right now. It'd be all good.
You would be.
It'd be all good.
Rich as hell.
Unreal. Why did I think of that? Why did I think GameStop was going to make a comeback? That's ridiculous, man.
So you do have Mets fans that are worried about Steve Cohen's involvement with .72 and his involvement with with GameStop and how much he could actually lose in this thing. Mm. I think he'll be all right.
Crazy. Yeah, I think he will.
He'll
too.
Be
Rod's rant of the day. What's going on with GameStop? Some bizarre, wild, crazy stuff. But it is dominating the news cycle right now. No question about that. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got a programming announcement to tell you about when we come back. Something cool happening on B&E tomorrow morning. And also an off-the-record 2 story to get to. Is this a fair reason to stab your spouse? Next. Back here on the Triple Option with RBKD, we've got Rod Babers, we've got Kevin Dunn, we've got BK with y'all on a Wednesday. Coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we'll get back into some Longhorn football conversation, how Sam Ellinger is doing at the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, plus some Steve Sarkisian audio talking about the Texas offense, what he's looking for from his quarterbacks, and also what he's looking for from his quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. Speaking of Steve Sarkisian, a quick programming note before we get to our off-the-record 2 story today. Coach Sark is going to be joining Bucky and Aaron tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Nice.
Set your alarms. Mark your calendar. 7:30 tomorrow, Steve Sarkisian, his first ever interview on the horn. I hate that those guys are getting him before we're getting him, but It's cool. I'll still promote it. 7:30 a.m. Sark is going to be on with B and E. So definitely be tuned in for that tomorrow.
And if there's some good audio there and you don't get up that early, we'll play it for you from 3 to 7.
We'll see about that.
Well, we'll see if the audio is good enough.
We'll see what kind of mood I'm in also.
Sark, your move.
Yeah, you're up, Sark.
B and E, your move.
Don't screw this up. Whoa, no, we're putting our faith in those guys.
Well, we're not going to play their audio.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right, so 7:30 tomorrow. Definitely check that out. We'll remind y'all with some social media posts, too. All right, guys, off the record, too. Police responded last week to reports of a domestic dispute at a couple's home in Sonora, Mexico, where they discovered the husband with multiple stab wounds on his arms and legs.
Damn.
And you ask, what caused this calamity? His wife, identified in this story as Leonora A., reportedly went ballistic when she found explicit photos on his phone showing him having relations with who she thought was another woman. So, you know, the wife checks the husband's phone, sees some dirty pictures of him with another woman, and she gets pissed. That's understandable, right, guys? I mean, you probably still can't stab anyone for that, but understandable that she'd be a little bit upset with what's going on.
Yeah, and if you have to check someone's phone, there's obviously a trust issue either on your part or their part before then.
Probably right.
Sorry about that. But
probably right.
That out there.
Yeah, I think that's true. It does happen all the time, which means there are probably a lot of trust issues out there.
There are.
These days. So without asking him about the photos, wife checks husband's phone, she sees the dirty pictures, and without asking any questions, she allegedly began attacking her shocked husband, who is identified as Juan N. in this story. And he's finally able to wrestle the knife from her hand. So once again, she is like not just attacking him with arms and legs. She's got a knife in her hand. She's stabbing this dude in his arms and legs. And he's finally able to wrestle the knife away from her. And he asks, what's going on? Like, what set you off? Why are you randomly stabbing me, B?
Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó?
Yeah.
He probably didn't say that.
But. The Spanish was probably a little better.
Yeah.
And he might not have been speaking Spanish at all. But that's an okay assumption. That's probably a fair assumption, being in Mexico. That is their native tongue. I was going to try to get you on a racist comment there, but I don't think I can.
Don't do it.
I think you're off the hook. I think you're off the hook here. But
wow.
I'm not sure about that.
2021, that's tough.
So, yeah, no kidding. Well, someone's about to text in and be pissed about that. So he asked her, like, yeah, why are you randomly stabbing me? What did I do? What's going on here? Well, I mentioned that she thought the pictures were of him having sex with another woman. Turns out, gentlemen, the pictures were of him having sex with her.
Oh.
That's right. The pictures were of her having sex with her own husband.
So she had never seen herself in that position before.
This is when they were dating. So these were old pictures from a few years back. And apparently the wife did not recognize herself because she was younger, thinner, and had makeup on, according to the report.
Wow.
So, yeah, woman starts stabbing dude. Dude says, no, these pictures on my phone are actually of you. So the woman she thought he had been cheating on with was actually her when they were just dating a few years prior. Oh. And she started stabbing him. So, thankfully, Juan is expected to recover from the injuries. But yeah, pretty bizarre. And Juan told investigators that he had recently found the photos in an old email and transferred them to his phone. So they're pictures
course,
from years ago that he
man.
Had, but I don't know why. He wanted to look at them, I guess. So he sent them to his cell phone. The wife finds it.
He wanted to look at him because she doesn't look like that anymore.
That's probably a part of it. Rod V, your thoughts on this off-the-record news story today?
Man, that is that's wild. I don't, you know, do you stay with her after that?
I mean, I've been stabbed.
Do they make it through this as a couple?
It's a good question.
I mean, can you just be with somebody who just stabbed? And how many times did she stab him? How many?
It just says multiple stab wounds in the arms and legs. So he's okay. He's expected to recover. But she's arrested
right now.
How
do you make that up to somebody? Like, how do you make that up to yourself?
You can't.
I stabbed you. I didn't really mean to. My bad. Like, I don't know how you come back from that as a couple. It's hard to come back from that.
It is, Rod. I think the biggest thing would say, hey, if you ever had any question about how much I love you and the passion I had, that just thinking of you with another woman was going to destroy me. And, I mean, you got to try and play that.
Man.
But I mean, it sounds like she's got to say that to the judge before she says it to him.
Yeah, still behind bars, pending the charges at this point. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're the guy, you talk about trust issues, checking your significant other's phone.
Right?
It's trust issues that she checked the phone and just assumed it was someone else when it was actually her. Like, she just assumed there was no way it could have been her. It had to have been another woman. So she started stabbing the guy. Like, that's that's double bad trust issues right there.
It'd be funny, though, if this guy really just kind of played the pig role and he said, all right, look, we got to talk about everything that went down, but we got to talk about changes. And forget about the stabbing. You got to lose some weight.
Oh, man.
And you couldn't even recognize your own hips in that picture. It's time to lose some weight.
Yeah, that's the issue we have right here. Maybe lose some weight and put on a little bit more makeup so you can look like you did in these pictures, you know? Because clearly you're jealous of this woman. So, you know, that is you. You can make yourself look like that woman again.
Hey. That's one way to go.
Dated multiple Latinas. There's some fire there in a great way, BK.
There's some craziness to him.
A little bit. I was warned by a lot of our texters, Latino texters on this. Better watch out. Better not cheat on her. Never cheated.
Is it Latino or Latinx? Or
Latino.
Latina.
They don't like Latinx.
What about
Latino? Every Latino I've talked to, they hate that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What does that even mean?
I don't know what it means. They don't know what it means. They don't like it.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it means.
Well, sorry to all the, I can't say all the Latins out there. That just sounds.
Don't do that.
Just sounds offensive.
If you say Latinos, you're talking about both.
Okay. Latinos and Latinas. I'll make sure to throw them both in there. And the Latinxes, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
I'm just giving a shout out to the Latinas.
There you go. I see what you were doing there. So there's your bizarre off the record two story right there. Woman stabs her husband after finding dirty pictures on his phone. She thought he was cheating on her, but they were actually pictures of the two of them having intercourse. Unbelievable.
And she didn't recognize herself.
She didn't recognize herself.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up. It really is special.
It's crazy.
All right, it's the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got 1 hour left. We'll get back into some Longhorn football conversation, some audio from Steve Sarkisian regarding offense, and more specifically, the quarterback position, plus an update on Sam Ellinger's progress at the Senior Bowl. That's next.